This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at sd.net.
House Judiciary will now come to order. Madam Secretary, will please call the roll.
Barthel.
Wake up.
Here.
Borglum.
Present.
Dietrich.
Here.
Hammond. Hammock.
Here.
Latterell.
Aki.
Pischke.
Here.
Rasmussen.
Here.
Reimer.
Here.
St. John.
Here.
Schwack.
Here,
sorry.
I've heard worse, believe me.
Poirier.
Here.
Johns.
Here.
Hansen.
Here.
Mr. Chairman, we have a quorum.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. We have a quorum. Welcome, everybody, to the House Judiciary Committee. This is our first meeting of the year. It's exciting to be here. I'm John Hansen, chairman of the committee. Sitting to my left is our vice chairman, Representative Tim Johns. To my right here, this is our LRC lawyer, staff person extraordinaire, Alex Timperley. And to his immediate right is our new committee secretary. This is Nancy. So we welcome them. Thank you very much for being here and for your service to the committee. We also have some pages around, but our pages routinely are the hardest working pages in the Capitol building. So they're in and out. So we'll catch. Oh, here's one. Yeah. How you doing? We'll get to their introductions a little later. If you have any handouts for the committee today, you're welcome to have them circulated. Please do have them distributed through our pages. Please remember that all questions and comments should flow through the chair. Also, please remember to silence your electronic devices. And if you wish to testify, you are welcome to do so. Please sign in at that podium in the back. We will take up two bills today, actually. The second bill on the agenda, House Bill 1065. The prime sponsor of that bill, Representative David Johnson, has asked that that bill be deferred. So we will likely hear that bill next week. Also, before we begin, Mr. Steve Siegel has some of these really handy cards that have been prepared by the South Dakota Trial Lawyers Association. These cards spell out all the felony levels and the penalties. I think it's got the misdemeanors on here as well. So did Mr. Siegel come by? There he is. So Mr. Siegel will hand those to the to our page here, and those will be distributed to the committee. So if you're ever wondering or if you need a quick reference, you'll have this. It's pretty handy. So thank you, Mr. Siegel, for that. Okay, before we get into the bills on the agenda today, you have been handed a number of bills, and the request has been made by the Chief Justice of the South Dakota Supreme Court to have these bills introduced through our committee. This would not be final action, of course. We did this last year, if you remember. We will consider these bills on the merits at a later date. Our vote today would just be to have these bills introduced through our committee. So I'll read the titles of the bill. The first one is Draft 240. It's an act to repeal certain fees charged by a clerk of courts. The second is Draft 241, an act to authorize a clerk of courts to provide certain notices by electronic mail. The third is Draft 242, an act to create a penalty for violation of a vulnerable adult protection order. Draft 243, an act to provide for the discharge of certain persons who received a suspended imposition of sentence for a misdemeanor. And Draft 536, an act to make an appropriation to evaluate the feasibility of the use of telehealth services within the criminal justice system, and to declare an emergency. So at this time, the chair would entertain a motion to introduce these bills through the Committee on Judiciary at the request of the Chief Justice.
So moved.
Second. Moved by Representative Barthel, seconded by Representative Dietrich. Any comments on that motion? Seeing none, this is a voice vote. All in favor of that motion will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. That motion carries. Yes. Representative Rasmussen. I'm sorry? Yes, absolutely.
I don't have a copy either.
So maybe pick up the pages, make some.
Got it? Okay, with that, we will get into our bills for the day. The first bill that will be heard in House Judiciary Committee this morning is House Bill 1047. House Bill 1047, an act to revise certain provisions regarding human trafficking. I will also note that we are still waiting on the prison impact statement for this bill. So what that means for today is that we'll be able to hear all the testimony. We'll be able to have discussion, ask questions, but we won't be able to take final action on the bill until next week when we have that prison impact statement with the committee. But we will hear all the testimony today and have any discussion and questions asked. So with that, the House Judiciary Committee will hear proponent testimony on House Bill 1047. Morning.
Mr. Chairman, my name is Kara Semler, and I am here today on behalf of the governor's office to speak as a proponent of this bill. Human trafficking is a crime that impacts our most vulnerable members of our communities, and it's a subject matter that's very important to Governor Noem. The bill that's been introduced would work to strengthen the statutes that do already exist to help identify victims and then to provide an easier path for them to receive services on the backside of such a crime. Looking at the bill, Section 1 and 3 really are, I think, for the most part, just cleanup. We added some language to those statutes that we think better defines who the actor in this crime. However, I do want to note that the actual definition of the crime is not being changed. So therefore, to the point of the prison impact statement, I think it would be quite low. And I think there may be a draft that's out, and I think it does reflect that it is quite low because we're not changing the definition of the crime in this legislation. In Section 2, you'll see that there's recognition that a minor in this circumstance doesn't have the capacity to consent, and that a mistake of age should not be a defense. And this isn't language that is new to this section. That same language does appear in the definition of sexual exploitation of a minor and solicitation of a minor for pornography. So this isn't new language. It appears in other areas of our code where a minor is victimized. Section 4 of the bill, as you'll see, would make it easier for a youth victim to clean up their criminal record. Certainly, we want victims to be able to move on with life and move past the terrible crime to the extent they can, and a criminal record could make that more difficult. Section 6 of the bill adds human trafficking specifically to the list of crimes wherein victim services can be accessed. And I see I skipped over Section 5, which is to more clearly define sexual exploitation. And that term is defined otherwise in our code, and we simply want to make it very clear that the term there is referenced back and has the same meaning as that term has otherwise in our code. Section 7 is also an addition to make services easier for a victim to access and requires restitution be paid by the perpetrator. I know there's others that desire to testify, and so out of respect to your time, I'll stand by for questions unless you'd like me to pass the baton to them, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you very much, Ms. Semler, for your testimony today. We'll take further proponent testimony now. Further proponent testimony on House Bill 1047. Good morning. Welcome, Ms. Rasmussen.
Hi. How are you, Chair Hansen?
Good. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for having us here today. My name is Becky Rasmussen. I'm the executive director for an organization called Call to Freedom. We are a nonprofit that offers supportive services to those that have been victimized by human trafficking. And I want to thank you for allowing us to be here today and the opportunity to share our support of Governor's Bill, House Bill 1047. First, I would like to thank each and every one of you for the work that you do for protecting our state and to serve our great state of South Dakota. House Bill 1047 helps strengthen the criminal code to hold traffickers accountable, offer better access to victim resources, and helps protect youth in our state. This bill is an important step in developing the foundation to build off of, but we know that there's much more work to be done. Over the course of the last 4 years, Call to Freedom has served 310 women, men, youth, and families that have been victimized by human trafficking right here in South Dakota. It's been a tough journey for those that we serve. The most common form of trafficking victims that walk through the doors of Call to Freedom is what we call familial trafficking, which is an individual who sells or exploits their own family members. This type of human trafficking is difficult to identify because most kiddos do not even know that they are being trafficked because they are groomed by the person they trust the most, who is their family. Introduced to drugs, pornography, and sexual abuse to groom them at a very young age with the intent to sell them for money, drugs, or other things. I can't tell you the high number of adults that have walked through the doors of Call to Freedom who were victimized as youth in and out of our systems, and no one ever identified them or intervened. As an adult, they found out through services, through a documentary, or some other avenue that they were survivors of human trafficking, crying in our office because now there was a title to their abuse. That's not good enough. We need to do better. We need to intervene at an earlier age. House Bill 1047 begins that work by clarifying that a minor who is sexually trafficked can be classified as an abuse and neglect child for the purpose of child protection service intervention. This is only the beginning. And with the help of service providers and the governor's office, the specialized services, education, and training will soon follow. Once they are identified and begin the healing process, many face unforeseen barriers of criminal or juvenile delinquency records. When victims are trafficked, there is a chance that they've committed various crimes while under the influence and control of their trafficker. These charges have included prostitution, drug charges, theft, and once a victim is identified and begins the healing process, their criminal record becomes a huge barrier to obtaining work, housing, care, and academic opportunities depending on the state. It may also prevent them from obtaining professional license, joining the military, or obtaining or retaining a driver's license. Despite much healing and restoration that may take place, facing these barriers from criminal records result in further victimization. The struggle to obtain a normal life for a survivor at times seems impossible. They so desperately want to move forward with a new identity, but it's extremely difficult to do that when they're constantly reminded of their past. They do not choose this lifestyle. They were thrust in by force, fraud, or coercion. And I have worked with many women and youth that simply wanted to give up the fight because it was too difficult and too overwhelming. House Bill 1047 changes that for those that we serve. It will allow them to get financial support after their victimization and clean up their record to move on with their life. It gives us a survivor an opportunity for a new identity, to set them up for success and not for failure. Having worked with these girls firsthand, I'm here to tell you that they are extremely incredible. They've survived things that most of us would never survive. I've watched them not only survive the horror of human trafficking, but the life after.
Shortly, you will hear from one of these incredible survivors. She is the reason why I'm here today, testifying and advocating for better responses, and services in our system, survivors of human trafficking. As I close, I urge you, on behalf of those that we serve, use your voice to let our women, youth, men, and families victimized by human trafficking know that we not only believe in them, but we're committed to protecting and supporting them by passing the Governor's House Bill 1047. I would personally like to thank Governor Noem for our advocacy and supporting those that we serve. I would also like to thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak today and hear my voice. I would ask Chair, we do have a survivor who would like to share on behalf of this. Is it okay if I remain up here with her?
Absolutely.
Okay, yes. Thank you, sir.
Good morning and welcome.
Good morning. I'm C from South Dakota. I waited my whole life for this bill to be put in the hands of our state legislators. I didn't think it would ever happen. And if it did, I most definitely didn't think I'd be around to witness it. But I am here. I did make it. I am here because I never stopped fighting for the ones who couldn't, and for those that weren't even given the chance. The difference today, though, is that you two are here, and House Bill 1047 is in your hands. Most people don't realize until after the fact that one more day for these kids might be their last. Some won't make it. Others will wish that they didn't have to. Despite the odds, they do what they need to make it, to move on, not knowing when or if they ever will be rescued. You and I might take today for granted, never giving thought to the ones that are trafficked or neglected. But these kids, they base their entire lives upon us. Their only thought is of us coming to rescue them and take their hand. Every day, they are waiting for someone to give them another chance, someone to show them a different perspective. It shouldn't have to be a case of survival of the fittest when we have law enforcement, CPS workers, and many others working on behalf of these victims. Infants, children, teenagers, it's happening to all of them. All of those people that I just mentioned are their only assistance in getting anywhere. But not even they can help, because right now, the law constricts them. Try and explain that to the child that's watching them leave from their bedroom window, wondering, why did they leave me here? Why didn't they care? How long until they will come back? How much more will I have to endure until then? They don't understand. I despised people in these fields for many years, but little did I know that it wasn't them prolonging my suffering. It was the law that binds them from fulfilling their duty. In this case, the existing laws are doing more harm than good. They're making victims when they could be making survivors. A quote from Ben Franklin says that justice will not be served until those unaffected are as enraged as we are. And as Francis Bacon said, if we do not maintain justice, justice will not maintain us. I'm here today because House Bill 1047 is what I lived for. My role is finished. I just ask that you guys will fulfill yours. I want to thank you personally and from those that will be rescued on behalf of House Bill 1047. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your testimony. Thank you, Ms. Rasmussen. Further proponent testimony on House Bill 1047. Is there any further proponent testimony? Good morning, Mr. Barger.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and committee members. I am Dale Barger. I'm a registered lobbyist with South Dakota Right to Life. We rise in support of HB 1047, and I'll be brief. We more than appreciate Governor Noem's consistent support of prudent legislation that bears down on human trafficking, as well as demonstrates compassion for the victims of this criminal element in our great state. For 49 years, South Dakota Right to Life has been supporting appropriate pro-life legislation. We have seen the passage of some 52 laws and resolutions protecting the right to life of all defenseless human beings, from conception to natural death. Today we stand with HB 1047, and here's why. First, we appreciate the bill's four-pronged approach to better helping and protecting victims, both minors and adults, of human trafficking. The bill underscores that these victims, like all other crimes, may well encounter personal injury and emotional distress, and now the bill clarifies that our CVC funds will be there to help. That leads me to our second reason for supporting the bill. It is because of the undeniable connection between human trafficking and abortion that we stand side by side with the authors of HB 1047. A recent groundbreaking study for the U.S. State Department examined the stories of 66 victims of sex trafficking. They found that 55% of these women had undergone at least one abortion while being trafficked, and more than 30% underwent multiple abortions. In summary, they said, and I quote, "The prevalence of forced abortions is an especially disturbing trend in sex trafficking." South Dakota Right to Life encourages you to support the passage of HB 1047 and all reasonable efforts to rid our great state of this blight and to help the victims who have been caught in its grip. This bill is a big step in the right direction, and in the process, fellow legislators, you will save babies' lives. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Further proponent testimony in House Bill 1047. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I'm Deb Fisher Clemens, representing Avera. I would just say to you that this is really important legislation. I would ask for your support of House Bill 1047. I would tell you that Avera has been involved in working with Call to Freedom and other entities that deal with the issues of human trafficking, and we've been working with them for many years. And you might ask why. The reason why is because I think the statistic is somewhere near 80% of victims show up in some healthcare facility, not necessarily a hospital, but possibly a clinic, emergency room. We need to make sure that our providers and the staff that are seeing these folks, first of all, recognize the red flags and can do what we can do and need to do to help these victims. So I ask, as we look at ways to help those victims in our facilities, that you take that next step that the governor is asking and support this legislation, because anything that we can do to help the victims, to root out the problems that exist for those who are treating the victims so horribly, is anything that we can do to help our young people and other folks in this state. And I would just stand with you as you support this legislation. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Further proponent testimony on House Bill 1047. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Bill Van Camp, a lobbyist for the South Dakota Retailers Association. Unlike the previous speaker, I applaud the effort to prudently approve our laws concerning human trafficking. Many retailers are on the front lines of these issues through the lodging industry that we have a large amount of members in. And though past legislation is often aimed in this issue to circle out or point a finger at things that might be stressed as a burden on those members of ours, this, we think, is a well-meaning and a well-intended piece of legislation, and we offer it full support.
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much. Further proponent testimony on House Bill 1047. Good morning. Ms. Pease, can you please turn the microphone on?
Thank you. Thank you. Sorry. Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I'm Debbie Pease with Family Heritage Alliance Action, and we too rise in support of this good bill that will help victims of human trafficking get their lives back. We appreciate your support. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Further proponent testimony on House Bill 1047. Good morning.
Good Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Matt Walls. I work at Keystone Treatment Center. We rise in support of this bill. We rise in support of Call to Freedom and the other organizations doing great work on this issue. For us, it's a privilege, at least for the past 3 years, to work very intimately with Call to Freedom and these other anti-human trafficking groups to help survivors get drug and alcohol treatment immediately upon identification of being in that need. And it's our great pleasure and honor to serve with them as they provide wraparound services and we provide that initial recovery and healing. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Further proponent testimony in House Bill 1047. Further proponent testimony. Any further proponent testimony? There was one individual that we were trying to connect with over the phone. We have been unable to reach that person, so maybe we'll try again a little later if we can. Or perhaps we can take that person's testimony next week when we go to take final action on the bill. Seeing no further proponent testimony, is there any opponent testimony? Any opponent testimony? Seeing no opponent testimony, we will now open the hearing for questions from the committee. Are there any committee questions?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Dietrich.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm intrigued by one of your opening statements regarding familial trafficking. And did I understand correctly that is the most common form of trafficking in South Dakota?
Ms. Rasmussen, welcome, please.
Thank you, Chair. The 60% of who we serve have been trafficked by their own family members. It's a high percentage. When you talk about reservations and you talk about some of the poverty levels but also those individuals that are coming out of the addictions areas as well, you see those crossovers.
Follow-up, Representative?
No, thank you, Mr. Chair. Your comments illuminated some of the underlying issues that we need to address as well. Thank you.
Thank you.
Further questions from the committee? Representative Schwach.
I had a question for you again, Mr. Rassman. Along those same lines, these familial relationships, could you articulate, is it most often parents? Is it brothers, uncles, nephews?
All of the above, sir.
Okay.
I think the most common that we've seen is we've seen where some organized crime will integrate into families. And so they see this as opportunity when they find vulnerable families that they may become a boyfriend or somebody who becomes a significant other family member. So that is one scenario. Also individuals that have been in addiction issues, they see it as an opportunity to be able to fulfill their addiction issues as well. And then you have some people that are stuck in sex addictions as well. So we've seen mothers, fathers, aunts, uncles, boyfriends, and even sometimes girlfriends as well.
Representative Pischke.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Again, Becky Rasmussen, thank you so much for being here. This is now my fourth year in the legislature, and this is an issue that seems to always, we always have legislation at this. This is always seems to be an issue in our state. And I think that what that shows is that it's very difficult to legislate morality. But I do believe it's our constitutional obligation to defend life and liberty and the pursuit of happiness. But I guess I would like to know from you if you have any suggestions as to how to eradicate this evil from our state.
How long do you have? I'll try to shorten that. There's a lot of struggles. I think number one, education. If you know how to identify it, you're going to be able to intervene. And so education within our first service providers definitely needs to be happening. I think we need to equip our law enforcement to do more proactive investigations because some of these are in our systems, familial trafficking, but there's also other ways that it
COVID is happening. And so equipping them to be able to do proactive investigations, I think, is very key as well. And I think first responders and identifying and educating first responders to ask the questions. When familiar trafficking is talked about, like I said, most are introduced to that by their own family members. And so a lot of people may have seen the movie Taken, and they think that's how trafficking happens. And traffickers have gotten a lot smarter. They actually build relationships. They groom, they recruit. And so the person that's trafficking, they typically trust them. So it's really important when you talk about medical communities, CPS, first responders that are domestic violence shelters, addiction centers, that we equip them to ask the questions while they're doing assessments. And once we equip them to ask the questions, then what are their responses when that happens? And I think as well, and then I'll shorten it, I would say that within our youth systems, I think there's just a lot of education and identification that needs to happen. And we need to coordinate efforts better and responses, and that takes time. And our experience with the East River Human Trafficking Task Force is everybody's willing to do that. And we're in development stages of making that a reality.
Follow-up,
Representative. Just a follow-up comment. And those are all great suggestions. What I would suggest to you and the governor's office is to continue to work together to bring these ideas to us so that we can continue to strengthen these laws and continue to work on this issue.
Yes, I know Governor Noem is very committed to that in our conversations. So, yes, we do plan on that. Thank you, sir.
Very good.
Further committee questions. Representative Poirier.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I appreciate you testifying in your life's work in this cause. You identified when your three areas of familial trafficking, you identified poverty, addiction, and reservations. Are you able to get us data on that information and where the statistics are and who's collecting that data? I would love to see it.
Yeah, so it's interesting because when we first started this work, there was not a centralized, and I think that's a common theme, right? There's not centralized data. So we've actually worked with the Department of Public Services to be able to streamline that, and that just happened this year. So they are asking the questions now in part of VOCA and SASB dollars to be able to find out the age of the victimization, ask more questions. So those processes are in place. We could share our data with you that we have. And then we also get data from when law enforcement that we work with. And then also we get data from some of the domestic violence shelters. The network has been great. But I wouldn't say it's inaccurate data. And in regards to tribal work, that's really just beginning. We just started a federal grant, which has a tribal navigator and a tribal case manager. So we're just beginning that work. We're seeing them not even directly off the reservation coming in. Where we're getting them is that we're getting them referred to us by other sources. So I think there's a lot more to come. I don't think we have accurate stats, but we can provide what we do have. But the motions, the pieces are in motion to be more accurate in that area.
Yes. Further committee questions? Any further questions?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Schwach.
I had one for the prime sponsor. Looking at Section 2, this new language about consent not being an effective defense, I was curious if you had any knowledge about any criminal case in the South Dakota judicial system where one, consent was raised as a defense, and two, where it was successful.
Mr. Chairman.
Please.
Short answer is no. I can't tell you a case. However, other chapters of law, like I said, the sexual exploitation chapter and the chapter about solicitation minors for pornography, they do use that same language. So in light of those other sections of code that impact youth victims contemplating this issue, we added it here. We think victims of trafficking deserve that same language that youth victims in those other chapters do.
Thank you. Further committee questions? Any further committee questions? Seeing none, thank you very much. I will allow for some discussion if anybody has any comments to make. Representative Barthel.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. First off, it's sad that we need to keep bringing legislation like this back year after year, but unfortunately, the people that perpetrate these crimes are not stupid, and they're going to do what they can to keep working around the law. So I think every time we do this, we send a clear message around the country that South Dakota isn't going to just sit on our hands and allow this to happen here. So I applaud the efforts of the governor's office to bring this forward. And with this legislation, it does a couple of things. It addresses some of the loopholes for the perpetrator, but more importantly, it addresses a couple of key areas for the victims. And I think it's hats off to them for addressing that, because it's important that we take care of our victims just as much as we try and go after the bad guys. So, and thank you also to the folks from around the state that came here to help testify, especially to our survivor. I know it takes a lot of guts to get up here and testify to these things, so we certainly appreciate hearing it firsthand. So I'm certainly going to be very supportive of this. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Further committee discussion?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Schwach.
I know we're not voting on this today, so just a consideration for the committee, if it wouldn't make sense, and I'm really just asking the other attorneys and on the committee to think about this too, if it doesn't make sense to move the new language in Section 2 up into the statute in Section 1, 2249-1. As it appears, we have some talk about minors in 49-1, and 49-2 and 49-3 are really kind of defining the different levels of punishment based on the circumstances. And if we move it to 1, I think then that language would extend to the different types of charges that are articulated in 49-2 and 49-3 and 49-4. Just a thought and a consideration as we move forward. Thanks, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Schwach. Further committee discussion? Any further committee discussion? Seeing none, just to clarify then, because this bill requires a prison impact statement, we cannot take final action on the bill today. So we cannot vote on this bill today. That vote will take place probably Wednesday of next week. But I want to just echo Representative Barthel's comments and express our appreciation, especially to Ms. Rasmussen and to this to the brave woman that testified alongside of her today. I just know that your testimony is greatly appreciated. We really value it, and we're just extremely grateful that you would come and provide your insight. And just know that that is very valuable as we deliberate. And although we don't count the votes before they're cast, I think this bill is going to be just fine as it makes its way through the process. So, thank you very much. With that, then, the chair will defer further action on House Bill 1047. We'll move next on the calendar is House Bill 1065. House Bill 1065 has been asked by Representative David Johnson to be deferred for a later date, so we will defer that bill as well. Then let's move to our last bill on our agenda for today. That's House Bill 1010. House Bill 1010, an act to revise provision regarding testimony of qualified mental health professionals at involuntary commitment hearings. The committee will hear proponent testimony on House Bill 1010. Representative Johns.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members of the committee, my name is Timothy Johns. I'm a representative from District 31. It's my pleasure today to bring to you House Bill 1010, which is an act to revise provisions regarding testimony of qualified mental health professionals at involuntary commitment hearings. This is brought at the request of the task force to reduce the overall use of acute mental health hospitalizations. We propose to amend in SDCL 27A109 certain language that has been somewhat ambiguous in the past as to who's the mental qualified mental health professional should be that will be giving testimony in a hearing before a full mental health county mental health committee. When you have a person there that it, that a petition has been filed that alleges that they are that they suffer from a mental illness and they are an immediate danger to themselves or others, an application is received. Now, I serve on the Lawrence County Mental Health Committee, and as does Speaker Haugard. He serves over in Minnehaha County. The board has a chairman or a member who will receive an application from an individual that's alleging that a person is suffering from that mental illness such that they constitute an immediate danger to themselves or others. And then when I receive that, I have to make a determination whether they should be detained and be evaluated by a qualified mental health professional. If that professional determines that they are an immediate danger to themselves or others, then I will order that they be continue to be detained and transported to an appropriate facility where they're going to be again evaluated by a qualified mental health professional for purposes of determining whether they should be temporarily detained further. If it is determined that they are such that they should have a hearing before a full board, then that person's going to have a right to an attorney, and a qualified mental health professional will appear and testify as to whether there are other alternatives other than long-term treatment. Long-term treatment can be up to 90 days, and it can be renewed. So we're talking about a person losing their liberties for quite a while. So currently the question is, who is that qualified mental health professional? And this just clears up the language that it has to be someone other than the person that made the original application, who could have been a qualified mental health professional or could have been a family member or a law enforcement officer. And it's not the qualified mental health professional that makes the initial determination that'll help me in determining whether they should be held for further proceedings. So it's just clarification of our current statute. It indicates now, it used to say that qualified mental health professional had to be independent of the petitioner, and now it'll read other than the professional who submitted the petition under SDCL 27A101 or initiated the hold, which is what I would do as a chair initially, as I determine whether they should be held. That's the purpose of the legislation, is just cleanup. And I'll stand by for questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Further proponent testimony on House Bill 1010. Any further proponent testimony? Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Terry Dosh. I serve as the executive director for the South Dakota Council of Community Behavioral Health. That's a nonprofit association. My members are organizations that provide behavioral health care, comprehensive alcohol and drug treatment facilities, and also all of the community mental health centers that serve our state. Just want to rise and support this bill today. I was closely involved in all of the different legislative task forces that ensued this summer. I'll just point out that the purpose behind the one that you see this legislation coming from is literally what the name of the task force was, and that's to reduce the overutilization of inpatient care, inpatient mental health hospitalization. And I think one of the barriers that was recognized is confusion over this particular statute that could impede that whole hearing process. And most specifically, could impede the ability to garner accurate information on alternatives that do exist right now. That's the fundamental basis for this. It really does take what we've endeavored to put into practice and have been doing in this state to have the code, current code, comport with that practice and to demist and defog any confusion that could arise. So I hope that's a little bit helpful. We definitely support this, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Dosh. Further proponent testimony, House Bill 1010. Ms. Fisher-Clemens, welcome back.
Thank you very much. Again, representing Avera Health. And for 60 years, Avera Health has been a provider of behavioral health services. We had members of our teams on the summer studies, on all the task forces, and those task forces did marvelous work. And this is one of the pieces that as we at Avera would get the patient who's been deemed needing more assessment for and possibly needing inpatient. This is important that we clarify this. I can't say it any better than Terry did, so please support House Bill 1010, and I thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Further proponent testimony on House Bill 1010. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I'm Jeremy Johnson with the Department of Social Services. I also wanted to offer our support for House Bill 1010. Throughout the summer, we participated in the task force and echo the support of the previous proponents. It's good clarification to ensure appropriate qualified mental health professionals can provide testimony at involuntary commitment hearings. And with that, I will be available for questions.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Further proponent testimony, House Bill 1010. Is there any further proponent testimony? Seeing no further proponent testimony, the committee will hear opponent testimony. Is there any opponent testimony on House Bill 1010? Seeing no opponent testimony, we will now open the hearing for questions from the committee. Are there any committee questions? Any questions from the committee? Seeing no committee questions, we will now open the hearing for committee discussion or action.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Dietrich.
I move approval.
Move due pass by Representative Dietrich. Is there a second?
Thank you.
Seconded by Representative Barthel. Comments on your motion, Representative Dietrich.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The five task forces that did the work have generated a package of bills and resolutions that are to continue the good work of those task force through this year, through accomplishing, completing some of these tasks, and also continuing some of the collaboration that's necessary to go forward. And this is a key part. We've looked at all the different types of barriers to access or ways to increase access by eliminating those barriers. And this is an important one. And in addition to this, we'll look at how frequent that evaluation is done during the first 5 days prior to hearing. And so you'll hear more about this, and we appreciate your support. If you have questions, everybody who spoke on it and many others in the room were participants in those task force. So there's a lot of information if anybody has any questions. And it's a good bill. We need to move the whole package on. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Further discussion on the due pass motion. Any further discussion? Seeing no further discussion, the motion before the committee is to send House Bill 1010 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. All those in favor of that motion will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Madam Secretary will please call the roll.
Representative Barthel.
Aye.
Borglum.
Aye.
Dietrich.
Aye.
Hammack.
Aye.
Latterell.
Aye.
Pitschke.
Aye.
Rasmussen.
Aye.
Reimer.
Aye.
St. John.
Aye.
Schwach.
Aye.
Poirier.
Aye.
Johns.
Aye.
Hansen.
Aye.
We have 13 yeas.
That motion carries. House Bill 1010 will move to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Mr. Chair, I move consent.
There's a new procedure for consent, actually. So now this year, the joint rules have been slightly modified. The chair can certify a bill for the consent calendar, which I will do at your request. And then any member, either in this committee or on the floor, can pull that off of the consent calendar or object at this time. So, all right, Representative Latterell objects. Sorry, Representative Pitschke. Representative Johns will have some work to do on the House floor. That concludes our calendar for the day. A bit of a comment on our bill load. It's I would have happily had a committee hearing earlier than today. However, the bills that we have had assigned to the committee up until this point, either were awaiting a prison impact statement, like we saw today, or some sponsors have requested that they be delayed in the hearing, or maybe the administration has asked to have some more time to review before those bills are heard. So that's why we haven't met until today, but I would anticipate that from now on we're going to be relatively busy, especially it looks like we've got a busy day with the Chief Justice coming up probably next week. We'll hear those bills. So with that, thank you, committee. I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Moved by Representative Pischke, seconded by Representative Latterell. All of those in favor of that motion will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. We are adjourned.